BOE back in session. First matter is BOE 494. This is a straggler from a prior mass appeal for a property assessment. This is a value that looks like classification and value. But on BOE 494, I would make a motion. Was it reclassified?
I don't know who they are. I don't have it in my list.
This is the Tanglewood property where they did the plat. They brought you the statute and said it doesn't change just because they did the plat.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Remember that? So they're down to 861 for each one?
Correct.
But on this form, they put classification and they say it's still agricultural. What we did last time was reduce the value of all of them down to 861, but I don't know if we changed whatever classification you had.
I thought you stayed commercial.
From what it states is that we made a motion to reduce the value to 861 and move back to agriculture.
Okay. Until they do something
right.
With property. Okay. So I would make a motion that we change the classification back to agriculture and reduce the value to assess value to 861.
Second.
Have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Okay. There's a matter not on the docket today that we're going to go back and potentially correct or revise a decision we made, which on BOE 178 to 181, which has to do with MDB properties. I'm going to make a phone call right now and see if I can get a hold of the individual. Michael, this is David Akers with the Taney County Board of Equalization again. Do you have just a moment?
Sure.
Okay. Michael, I believe you were in here the first day, and you have if I recall correctly, you have a residence here, a residence in Louisiana, then you have four nightly rental properties.
That's correct.
Okay. And I think at that time, to be consistent with a decision we had made a year or two ago, we had said that those four nightly rental, because you have another residence, were going to be 100% commercial. Is that what we did?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Since then, we have come back with a decision. Hey, Mr. Baker.
Good morning.
Sorry. Another board member just joined us, so I was saying hi to him. What we've done is we think that if there's people that are, you know, are residents here or next county over, we're going to try to treat them the same. So what we're going to do is give you one of these rental properties as a mixed use, 25% commercial, 75% residential. And we assume that one of those, the property that you want that attached to would be BOE 180, which I think is at 310 Heavy Timber. Is that the most valuable property you got?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
Okay. I would make a motion on BOE 180 to revise our decision to classify the property as mixed use, 25% commercial, 75% residential.
I will second. I just want to clarify that is a nightly rental, not his personal residence.
That 310 Heavy Timber is a nightly rental, correct?
That is correct.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. All right. Just wanted to let you know, thank you for owning Taney County, okay?
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Okay, no problem. Bye-bye. Okay, it takes care of those two. Hey, Russ.
You mean I could have folded it? How are you?
I'm good. All right. We've got in-person. Are you... Is this a person with you?
No, he's a summer intern. This is
gotcha.
Ergo. He's originally from Branson. He's a student at NYU. He's a summer intern at our firm. So.
Great. Not sure why you want to be a damn lawyer, but
yeah,
I am one. That's why I tell you. Okay, we have the first one on our docket here. It's supposed to be an in-person, but I don't see them. So I could probably take up Mr. Shenowork's cases. It's my understanding that you have Meyer Hotels, Meyer Properties. Is that what you're here on?
David, that's correct. And I also have the one that was continued from last time, which is the AP and SH.
Okay, that's the AP and SH. Yeah. Okay. But it's my understanding that there's a similar argument on all of these cases. Is
that on
correct?
All six.
All six.
All
okay.
six. It's
I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt for just a second. APS and H was the one that was continued from last time.
That is correct.
AP and SH. And then we have, and that was BOE 159. And then we have BOE 316, 319, 320. Am I missing one?
There's five of them. I've got them by parcel numbers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it may be.
Three, four.
I think that's five. One, two.
There's six five. With the AP and SH.
I have six, correct.
Three, yeah, that's right, Lisa.
Four, five. Yes, there's five Meyer properties in the AP, S, and S, and H. Okay. During our break, another thing, we had an opportunity to read, or at least I did, and I've sent copies of that out, and we've had an opportunity to read the Shipman case, and I also had an opportunity to volunteer more of my time last night and read about five state tax commission decisions since the Shipman case that also discuss Shipman and this issue of the statute which you were talking about. Mm-hmm. Now, as I understand it, as I'm reading it, in order to reconcile those two statutes, because the assessor has a constitutional mandate to assess, is that that statute is intended to be, one, a check on the assessor, and according to the Shipman case, is not saying that the assessor can't continue to increase values or assess, but they have to use the amount set by the state tax commission as a basis.
Well, not only that, if I may.
Okay.
Not only that, David, but there has to be some evidence of some change in the circumstances.
Correct. That's what I'm getting.
Okay.
In other words, in order to do that, it doesn't mean that it has to be that there has to be more building or something on it. It can be because. And I was reading directly out of Shipman here. It can be because there are change in market or economic conditions, but that needs to be something. In other words, I need to know what the assessor has on that issue. And I guess we're going to have to take those property by property here to determine what the basis of the new assessment was and determine. But I think you are absolutely right. The statute mandates that you start with the basis that was established by the tax commission. It's just a question of whether or not something has changed. I understand you're alleging nothing has.
Well, not just that, Dave, but the fact that the burden is on the assessor in this instance to show how it has changed, if it has indeed changed at all. And that is something that should have, I would argue, should have been presented at the time the books were closed, and not something that's kind of, you know, provided after the fact.
Provided to you, you mean?
No, provided to the board. I mean, this is something that should have been done before the books close.
Yeah, and I don't know because I haven't, you know, we're on the internet and we're in an open session here, of course, I have no idea what the assessor's basis is until we ask the question. So I just want to make sure that before I do ask the assessor as a board here what it is that she finds as the basis, that there isn't anything else. I'm assuming that you're just saying nothing's changed on these. I mean,
there's insufficient evidence of any reason to increase the value.
I understand.
Yeah. But again, you know, and going back to the Shipman case, David, it there has to be some specificity there.
Yeah, and to read from it, it says, to meet the statute, there must be evidence of some change in circumstances regarding the property, such as new improvements, zoning, or land use changes, or changes in market or economic conditions from the time of the successful appeal to the time of the future assessment.
Well, and I was looking at a different quote from the case.
Yeah.
It is not legally sufficient for an assessor to merely pay lip service to the mandate of the statute that requires the assessor to use the value established by a taxpayer's successful appeal of assessor's previous valuation as the basis for future valuation. The statute that requires the assessor to use the value established by the taxpayer's successful appeal is not meant to penalize the assessor for not prevailing in an appeal, but rather to provide some relief for the taxpayer who does successfully appeal an assessment by placing a check on an assessor that loses an assessment appeal for the property from simply reassessing the property at a value that is essentially unrelated to that determined in the appeal. So
sure.
I would argue that provision means that it places the burden of the assessor at that point to prove any difference in values.
Okay. And to be clear, in Shipman, I think it was the state tax commission set a value of like $4 million. The next year, the assessor came back and put it at $12 million.
Correct.
So it's a 300% increase.
Yeah.
And since that time, there have been 5 decisions by the state tax commission that basically have upheld what the assessor did. But what this case did was basically say, I think exactly what you're saying to the assessor is, if you're going to raise it, you got to justify it.
Right.
Okay. Now, having said all that, I think we kind of have a clear understanding. I'm going to ask the assessor here, if you don't have anything else, what it is on these particular properties. Let's start with BOE 159, which is the carryover from the last one, which is AP and SH hospitality.
Is it me or who's supposed to be speaking now?
I was trying to pass it off to you on these properties. Let's start with AP and SH Hospitality.
Okay. All right. So AP and SH Hospitality is sort of related to the Meyer properties, as Mr. Meyer owned it before they just bought this, the AP and SH. And so when these were valued for the BOE last time, Mr. Meyer submitted all of his financials, and this particular one showed large negative numbers for every year. So those numbers, and I've included those on your deal, it's like negative $225,000, negative $35,000, negative $28,000. That was for the years 2020, 2019, 2018. So it was pretty much impossible to get a finance and expense value, so we went with the cost value. We have since reassessed because, again, we weren't sure, and information in the CREXI advertisement on the internet for this property states that it had year-over-year increases, 29% year-over-year increases. And so this is, the numbers didn't jive. Again, we just went out, reassessed it, and this is what we have for our value.
Okay. So you have used a cost approach on the property. What is this? What is this property? Do you know, Russ? What is this property?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, Dave. The Quality Inn on Shepherd of the Hills. And if I may address that argument.
Quality Inn West.
Quality Inn West.
Yes.
Okay.
Commercial properties are bought and sold based on their ability to produce income, period. The cost approach, any appraiser, and I don't know if the Board of Equalization is familiar with the USPAP. Appraisers in Missouri that appraise, you might be familiar, but USPAP stands for Uniform Standards and Principles of Appraisal Practice. And it's a set of guidelines that licensed appraisers in Missouri are required to use, both general